Cybersecurity breaches have at least one useful purpose. They expose flaws in software running critical hardware systems that manufacturers can fix, but only if the organization that is hit tells the equipment supplier. Federal agencies work under a policy requiring them to disclose cyber flaws to vendors, except sometimes they don't. With more on the disclosure loopholes and the harm they can cause, Jason Healy, senior research scholar and cyber conflict expert at Columbia University. Jason, good to have you on.
Thank you.
You have written that, in fact, agencies do have this policy. It goes back to 2014, yet in the case of the National Security Agency and some others, they have not told equipment vendors about flaws that resulted in breaches. Or have they? What's going on?
One of the main questions that drove us to do this research here at Columbia University was saying, How do we know how many of these computer vulnerabilities the government keeps to itself? It's released a little bit of information about the policies, but how many bugs per year does the government keep? And most of the folks we talked about, even people that were had worked at the White House or the Pentagon, suspected maybe hundreds. Some of the hackers we talked to suspected it might even be thousands. And it turns out that it looks like the number is far less than we might have guessed, probably only single digits for 2015. So it looks like actually the government gives back more to the vendors than we might have thought.
How many 0 days do you think come up in the public sector in a given year?
Well, and this was what when we went through, because when we got a number of single digits, we said, wow, that seems too low. Can we try and disprove this? And I'll tell you, earlier this year when the shadow brokers came out and they were publicly released some NSA hacking tools, and that one and that had two of these 0 days right there in it. So we thought maybe we got it wrong. But it turns out in 2015, there were only 50 of these new vulnerabilities discovered, 50 0 days out in the wild that were used as part of attacks. So with only 50 that were discovered in total, it did make more sense that NSA wasn't keeping hundreds or thousands, and that maybe this is a better process than we fear.
Well, let's zoom out a minute and talk about industry in its entirety, because many, many large organizations are breached every year, and there is at least maybe a nascent, but a growing culture of information sharing on that front. So is the government just one of many people that gets breached and therefore shares what it discovers? But maybe
there's not that many unique to government.
There's
a lot of people that discover these 0 days, and not everyone turns it over to vendors. But I think the bigger issue is not all the vendors know what to do with it or make it welcoming for the security researchers to come to them with a problem. And so this week we had great news that the Department of Defense came out with a vulnerability disclosure program that if you tell DoD come to them and say, hey, we discovered this vulnerability, instead of trying to prosecute you, they'll welcome you. They'll say thank you for trying to improve DoD security, and they give a process for how they can take that vendor and improve, for example, DoD websites. Other companies like Microsoft do this. And it's such an important point. The auto manufacturers have just started. And it really is a best practice that the other companies need to follow, especially those that do things like Internet of Things, right, that do your web cameras, that do your we really need more attention to these vulnerabilities from the vendors.
So the bug bounty so-called programs really then benefit everybody.
Exactly. And that's one of those ways that information sharing, if we can get it to the vendors, many of them will try and patch it. And now, as public policy, we can start putting the attention on making sure they're patching it rather than make sure that they know about it to begin with.
Because wasn't there a case a number of years ago where an inside cybersecurity person or an IT person at Intel found a vulnerability in their network, didn't exploit it, but simply told management about it and was fired for it?
Right. It's not very welcoming for a lot of these companies. You know, an important one for this year is election machines. It had been illegal to try and tamper with election machines. And you can understand that. Tampering is a bad thing, right? But when tampering is trying to figure out if there's a security vulnerability in a way that a foreign nation state or a hacker might be able to change the vote, well, that's not tampering. That's trying to secure all of us. And so we've started to see some relaxation of the laws in that point as well.
We're speaking with Jason Healy, senior research scholar in the Faculty of International and Public Affairs at Columbia University. With respect to companies sharing amongst themselves bugs that they find, do you see that as something that happens pretty routinely? And then in turn, do they share it with government? Does it work that direction?
I think between between companies, certainly between security researchers and telling companies, we've seen a revolution in the last 2 years with companies like HackerOne and others that are setting up a side market to help make sure that conversation happens in a productive way. There are volunteer groups. One is called I Am the Cavalry that tries to bring security researchers and auto manufacturers and others together in a productive fashion. So we think we're seeing a real change in what's happening there. As far as other kinds of information sharing, such as here's what we've seen for breaches and the rest, there we expect to see a lot more happening with the information sharing and analysis organizations that were created by or were allowed to be created by an Obama presidential directive in the last couple of years. And so we're really looking forward to some significant changes in that in 2017.
And in your paper, you cite something called the Vulnerabilities Equities Process and the Equities Review Board, chaired by the National Security Council. So there's a very formal process for this kind of thing to happen, the sharing of the discovered bugs. Did you find that that is a working process?
It seems to work quite well. That it used to be NSA could decide themselves what they would choose to keep or not. And that probably made sense in the 90s or the early 2000s when we didn't have the dependence on the flawed technology that we had today. Now we're so dependent on these things that I think it's appropriate for the White House to say, NSA, we need to have the Department of Homeland Security involved and the Department of Treasury if it affects the finance sector. And these other groups that are involved in this interagency process. And it seems to work reasonably well, but as we saw with the FBI and Apple debates, it certainly doesn't work perfectly.
I wanted to ask you about that one because that was kind of a reversal of the usual situation where the FBI needed to get into the device and did so in relatively short time, which Apple expected this thing to be uncrackable. So how do you analyze what happened there?
Well, I'll tell you, I think I might lose a bet over a dinner on that one. I had a bet with one of the editors at the Lawfare blog that FBI would tell Apple within a year of what that vulnerability was. Now, normally that Apple iPhone vulnerability would go through the vulnerabilities equities process, but FBI has, you know, essentially said, look, we don't know exactly what the vulnerability is. We only leased the use of the vulnerability, so we can't possibly tell, you know, go to the White House to get permission to do this because we don't even know what it is. Now, that's clearly a loophole. So the National Security Council at some point is going to have to take a look and say, is this permissible and it's okay if government agencies do this in the future? Or to say, no, this goes against the spirit of what the president was trying to get done, and they try and attempt to close that loophole. I think under an Obama administration, if it would have continued, they would have tried to close the loophole, and we'll see what happens in a different administration.
Just to pull on that thread a little bit more, if the FBI used something that they didn't quite understand but nevertheless got into the device, is that the cyber equivalent of using a mafioso as an informer?
It's an interesting analogy. One of the questions that I haven't heard come up yet on that is, you know, at least if a mafiosi turns and gives you evidence, you probably can use it in court. If FBI did not know of the exact method that was used, then I would suspect they might have difficulty with a defense lawyer challenging it and saying, well, how do you know the evidence wasn't changed if you use a tool that you don't even know how it works?
So that side, that case aside, that's an exception. But in general, if the government is hit and there is a bug discovered, the bottom line is they're pretty well equipped and, in fact, do share that information with the vendor of that equipment and therefore with industry.
That certainly seems to be what we've found so far. Now, the shadow brokers came out and released some of these 0 days. And you know what? We could easily find other information that comes out and makes us change that assessment. But from the exhaustive research that we did, right now it seems to be a process in balance.